Christ, exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries.
This is your listener-supported Christian radio station, WCNO 89.9 FM, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, full of grace and mercy, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is Moses at the Red Sea, Part 3. My scripture is Exodus 14, 15 through 31. My text is Exodus 14, 21 through 22, which states, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. As soon as ever the children of Israel had got safely to the shore, Moses was ordered to stretch out his hand over the sea and thereby give a signal to the waters to close again as before upon the command word they had opened to the right and to the left. He did so, and immediately the waters returned to their place and overwhelmed all the host of the Egyptians. Pharaoh and his servants, who had hardened one another in sin, now fell together, and not one escaped. God avenged upon the Egyptians the blood of the firstborn whom they had drowned, and the principal is repaid with interest. It is recompensed double, full-grown Egyptians for newborn Israelites. Thus the Lord is righteous, and precious is his people's blood in his sight. God reckoned with Pharaoh for all his proud and overbearing conduct towards Moses, his ambassador, mocking the messengers of the Lord and playing the fool with them, bring ruin without remedy. Now God got him honor upon Pharaoh, looking upon that proud man and lowering him in rank. Come and see the ruin he made and write it, not in water, but with an iron pen in the rock forever. Here lies the bloody tyrant who offered challenge to his maker, to his demands, threatenings, and judgments, a rebel to God, and a slave to his own barbarous passions, perfectly lost to humanity, morality, and all true honor. Here he lies, buried in the deep, a everlasting monument of divine justice. Here he went down to the pit, though he was the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude." Here is the notice which the Israelites took of this wonderful work which God wrought for them, and the good impressions which it made upon them for the present. They saw the Egyptians dead upon the sands. Providence so ordered it that the next tide threw up the dead bodies, and the greater disgrace of the Egyptians. Now the beasts and birds of prey were called to eat the flesh of the captains and mighty men. Revelation 19, 17, and 18. The Egyptians were very nice and curious in embalming and preserving the bodies of their great men. But here the utmost contempt is poured upon all the grandees of Egypt. See how they lie, heap upon heaps, as dung upon the face of the earth. For the greater triumph of the Israelites, and to affect them the more with their deliverance. For the eye affects the heart. See Israel, Isaiah 66:24. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that had transgressed against me. Probably they stripped the slain, and having borrowed jewels of their neighbors before, which the Egyptians having by this hostile pursuit of them broken their faith with them. Henceforward, they were not under any obligation to restore. Now they got means of defense from them, which some think they were not before provided with. The sight of this great work greatly affected them, and now they feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now they were ashamed of their distrust and murmurings, and in the good mind they were in, they would never again despair of help from heaven. No, not in the greatest difficulties. They would never again quarrel with Moses, nor talk to returning to Egypt. They were now baptized unto Moses in the sea. This great work which God wrought for them by the ministry of Moses bound them effectually to those to follow his directions under God. This confirmed their faith in the promises that were yet to be fulfilled. And being brought thus triumphantly out of Egypt, they did not doubt that they should be in Canaan shortly, having such a God to trust in and such a mediator between them and him. Oh, that there had been such a heart in them as now there seemed to be. Sensible mercies, when they are fresh, make sensible impressions. But with many, these impressions soon wear off. While they see God's works, they feel the benefit of them. They fear him and trust in him, but they soon forget his works, and then they disrespect him. How well were it for us if we were again in a good frame of mind as we are sometimes. Let us all remember, God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 says, "But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is, where is your focus? It is important that we acknowledge the significance of focus during this season of adversity and how the subject of our focus can ultimately shape our legacy. If you have ever flown in an airplane, you know that your perspective of the earth is far different from what it was when you were on the ground. This is the kind of perspective God wants to give us concerning our lives. As we focus on God instead of ourselves and our circumstances, our perspectives change. By focus, we mean prioritizing your relationship with God by setting spiritual goals for yourself. Things like spending more time with God, studying the Word of God, praying, praising, and living according to the Word. So today I ask you, where is your focus during this season? And I challenge you to consider the following three things. First, let go of the issues and concerns outside of your control. Yes, be diligently watchful, wise, prayerful, and take reasonable measures, but refuse to become obsessed with problems that you were never meant to manage. Second, turn your attention to what God is accomplishing. View the current situation in light of his sovereignty rather than on the conjectures of people. This is very important because when we see our circumstances as the result of man's will and fail to understand them through the filter of God's plan, it will create all kinds of uncertainty and anxiety for us. Therefore, look for the Lord's provision and will in everything and trust his ability to work all things together for good and his ultimate purpose. And third, faithfully accomplish whatever God has given you to do. Realize that you matter. Your faithfulness as a believer is an essential part of his work in the world. This is the very reason the enemy desires to distract you, because he knows the Lord can actively accomplish great things through you. The Apostle Paul could have focused on his pain while in jail, on lockdown in Rome, and the overwhelming circumstances of that period in history. But instead, he made it his goal to encourage the churches and be a faithful witness of God's grace. And because of it, his letters within the Bible have encouraged believers throughout the ages. The Lord God wants to do eternity-shaping things through you as well. You may not think you have the gifts to make much of a difference, but as a person who has been saved by Jesus and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to be his hands and feet in the world. So let go of the temporary and let him work the eternal through you. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But be encouraged, because the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and take purposeful action for his glory. Life is full of uncertainties, but you'll find that God's grace is sufficient, and trust in him is never misplaced. Stay encouraged, my friends. Keep looking up and focus on carrying out God's plan for your life. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
In the stillness and the quiet, you are who we need. Holy Spirit, breathe. Holy Spirit, breathe. In the stillness and the waiting, this moment is a gift. Holy Spirit, breathe. Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. We love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. We love you. Of one, my eyes are where you are.